Lamentations in chapter 3, and let's start in verse 18. This is Jeremiah the prophet speaking. And I said, "My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." Now, if this is all we had, it'd be a very depressing sermon this morning. But thank God I'm not going to stop there. Look at verse 21. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth to the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good?" And then skip down to verse 57. "Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou sayest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause." And let's pray. Lord, I pray that your word today would be a source of strength and of hope and of assurance for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can base the salvation and the comfort and the strength of our souls upon something so sure as your word. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, let these words today speak to our hearts. I pray that they would strengthen us and revive us and comfort us. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you, Lord, that we can gather today in this great nation that you have provided for us. Lord, we ask also, just as a side, we ask for the elections, Lord, that you would have your perfect way in all that is going on. And Lord, that somehow good may come out of all of this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's an interesting passage. You know, I guess the first thing that I'd like to say about this passage right here is I want to preach a message today of hope and of comfort. There's a lot of hopelessness out today. There's a lot of hopeless statements being made today. You just look out over our elections. I mean, we should have had a president already, and we don't have a president. And it doesn't look very hopeful that there will ever be a very good resolution. There's always going to be doubt as to who was right and who was wrong and who really got elected and who doesn't. We really have to trust God for this and hope that God would work it all out and straighten it all out. Doesn't seem to be a lot of hope for society. You know, we want things to get better. We want society to improve, but it doesn't look like it's happening. And of course, we look at the Word of God and we find out that we are on a downhill trend. Society maybe, but not the church. You see, the church, I believe, is on an uphill trend. The closer we get to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the happier, the stronger, the more bold we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a book of Lamentations. This is a book where God had taken a nation, a great nation, at one time a godly nation, and God had destroyed that nation and put it under the Babylonians, took their enemies and destroyed this nation. And at the time you look through Lamentations, anytime I'm depressed, I go into Lamentations and I read it because I can understand it real well. And you don't think, how can there be any word of comfort and hope in here? Well, I tell you what, if all we've got is society, we don't have much comfort and we don't have much hope. If all we've got is this life, we don't have much hope. Several in this room, and Sister Rita and some others, have faced death close to them this week. You know, it says in 1 Thessalonians that we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. And you know, why is that? Because we know what's on the other side. We know what's on the other side of that valley of the shadow of death. I've never seen it. I've never died. I've never had one of those near-death experiences and gone through the long white tunnel or any of that kind of garbage. But I know by what the Word of God says that for the Christian, when he dies, he shall stand before God. I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? Hey, I'm looking forward to living a long time, but I know that if right now I were to pass away, I would be right in the presence of the Lord. And how is it that I know that? Because of the hope that the Word of God gives me. You see, Jeremiah could look around. Maybe he didn't have a whole lot of hope. But I really got encouraged in this passage right here. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 21 is kind of the cornerstone of what I was thinking of. This I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope. We've got grounds for hope today as Christians. Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. Doesn't matter what in our lives is causing us anguish or depression or lack of confidence. In God, we've got hope, and I want to show you some of the reasons why today. Verse 22 says, "It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Now, how many times around the Lord's table has that verse right there been quoted? It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Brother Jeff and I were talking a while back, and you know, Brother Jeff came to the conclusion that given everything that he knows about life and everything, he's just going to start praying for mercy. That's not a bad prayer to pray, you know? When I go before God, I'm not all the time pleading my innocence. There's not often that I go before the Lord and I say, "Lord, you know I'm right. Lord, you know my character is sure. Lord, you know my intentions were pure." Because in everything I do, there is sin involved with it. So when I go up before the Lord and I need some help and I need some comfort, you know what I'm asking for? I'm not asking for righteous. I'm asking for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. That's what I need. I need mercy. I think something. I said, "Lord, please have mercy on me." I'm not asking the Lord for true and righteous judgment on my soul, because I know if I did, I'd be consumed away. I need mercy. You know what gives a Christian great hope today? Is God's mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I want you to notice several phrases here in this verse. Number one, we are not consumed. You know, God's mercy dictates that no matter how bad it is, thank God it's not worse. You know what? I'm not going to hell. I will never burn in a place of torment forever and ever outside of God's love, outside of God's compassion, outside of God's kindness, in a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because God had mercy on my soul. You look at Jeremiah, in the midst of the blackest and darkest day, he could still, right there, say, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." And there was one thing about Israel, is they weren't consumed. Yeah, they were sold off into slavery, they were sold off into bondage, but they were not utterly consumed. I want you to look at a passage in Job chapter 14. Gives a perfect illustration of what I'm talking about here. Job chapter 14, verse 7. "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yet man giveth up as the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the floods decay and dry up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, and thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, and thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come." You see, he gives an illustration here of a tree. And I know this illustration real well because I've cut down a lot of trees on my property. And you know what I know? There was one time we had a windstorm come through and we have a tree. I guess it's maybe 30 or 40 feet. Now it's 5 feet. And that wind came through and just snapped that tree off. And I thought that tree was dead. I cut those things down and of course it just had a stump left in the earth. And about 6 months later, that thing started sprouting up and started getting green. It's got, I'm letting it grow, man. It's going to be another great tree, hopefully. You know, that's the picture of what God does for someone who trusts in Him. He's like a tree. And though he be cut down, though you suffer loss, though you suffer anguish, you know what God's promise is? He says down here, if a man die, shall he live again? Thank God, yes. Lord's mercies, that's part of his character. But not only that, look what it says there in Lamentations in verse 22. It says in the end, it says, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. There's another reason why we can hope in God. Notice that these reasons that I'm giving here at first, you know what these are all tied to? These are all tied to God's character. The mercy of God, it's tied to His character. The compassion of God, it's tied to His character. Some people don't see any real need for reading and learning to understand the Word of God. But here is one very good reason for putting your nose in the book and learning how to find out what this Word has to say about God. Because the better knowledge we have of God's character, the better we're going to be able to trust Him. And the more of a comfort He's going to have on our soul in the times when we really need Him. When I grew up, I didn't have the best example of a father. And I'm sure a lot of you could probably say the same thing. And I'm sure in his condition and in his affliction and in his problems, he probably did the best he could. But I didn't have a very good image of what a father was. And so when I became a Christian, I began to understand, I began to think of God the Father like my father. And it just wasn't working out. You know, I was walking around all the time thinking that God had this big hammer just waiting for me to mess up this much and He was going to squash me like a bug. Because I was thinking about God like I thought about my father. But as I began to understand this word right here, I began to understand that my Father in heaven wasn't like my father down here on earth. My Father in heaven was different. Now I have a tremendous relationship with God the Father. I know Him. I know Him by what He's done in this book right here. I know that if I sin and I mess up, I don't have to run away and hide like Adam did. I don't have to try to cover my sin. I can go back to Him and I can receive mercy and I can receive comfort and I can have hope for my soul. You know, there are some Christians that are sitting at home today and they have no more hope because they think that somehow they've crossed the line with God. They've gone too far and God will never be merciful to them again. But the Bible says while there's breath, there's hope. And let me tell you, there is hope for a Christian. There's hope. You're never, ever, ever in a place where you are without hope if you belong to God. And that's what Jeremiah is saying right here. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, you ought to quote that when you get up in the morning. It's a new day. Time of new starts. A new beginning. I messed up yesterday, but I've got another chance today. God gives second chances. God gives new days. God takes the past and puts it behind Him. I was counseling not too long ago, and I was counseling a person. And the reason why they were so distressed is because every psychologist they'd gone to from that point was trying to dig back into all that filth and junk of her past and was trying to bring it up so that they could heal it. Well, God had a better plan. He just covers it with blood. That's all He does. And then at that point right there, He forgets it and He gives you a new beginning, a new day to carry on and go forward. And thank God you and I can start right now where we are today and be useful for God, be service to God. I'm not saying there's not consequences to sin. I'm not saying that you don't have to live and abide under some of the things that you've done. But you know, you don't have to be in bondage to yesterday. You don't. You can have a new day right here today. Now, was Jeremiah in an ideal situation? No, his country was being stolen out from under. The Babylonians had taken over. He was disrespected as a prophet in Israel. They hated him. He was not in an ideal situation. You know what? You don't have to wait for an ideal situation to enjoy the character of God in His mercy, in His compassion, in His loving kindness. You don't have to wait for things to get ideal. You don't have to wait. You can enjoy God right now. You can take comfort in God right now. And I'm sure that if we went through this room and we told of everybody's circumstances and situations, very few of them are what you considered the ideal situation or circumstance. One of the things I know is God deals with us with such compassion and such mercy, and I'm so thankful for it. Look at verse 24. It says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him." You know, this is something that they can't take away from me. I've read some biographies of some men that knew the Lord that spent years and years in prison camps, and God sustained them. I've heard reports and I've read reports of men and women of God where that was all that they had left. There are some Christians that if their health begins to deteriorate, all hope for them is gone because everything is built on their health. And you know, I feel sorry for people that are bodybuilders and people that are models and people that depend on their body, you know, for things like that, because they're ultimately doomed to failure. You know, the body is going down. It doesn't last forever. The things that we have here don't last forever. But take this body and destroy it, I still have hope. Put me in a place where I'm fiercely persecuted for my faith, I still have hope. Put me in a place where there doesn't seem to be any other hope available, but you know what? God is my portion. You say, well, of course, God's your portion, but you know, that really works. When you get down to the nitty-gritty and you find out that you have nothing but God anyway, everything else is temporal. Is the Lord your portion today? You believe that? Do you live in light of that? Do you practice that? Some of you don't know God's character well enough to even be able to say, "The Lord is my portion." You got to get to know God. You see, being in the church and serving God isn't just about checking off a list of do's and don'ts. You know, I start doing this because these are Christian things to do. This is a living relationship with a living God. It's not a religion. It's not a social club. It is a living relationship between you and your God. That's one of the comforts that I have, knowing that the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Look at verse 25. Here's another thing about God's character that we can count on. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Now you may not think of much, but imagine just for a minute if God wasn't good. That's a scary thought. If He still had all the power, if He still had all of the control, if He still had all of the wisdom, all of the knowledge, but He wasn't good, it'd be a terrible time. Do you know what I know? That God is good. I can never be justified ever getting mad at God for what He does. Oh, I could be mad at myself. Brian, you stupid idiot, you shouldn't have done that. Lord, Brian, why did you do that? You know, I can be mad at myself and frustrated at myself, but I'm never in a position where I can be mad at God. Even Jeremiah right here, he had no justification for saying, "Lord, why have you done this to our nation?" Because the Lord is good. Do you realize that everything that happens to you because of God's goodness? I look at some of the things that happened to me that prepared me when I finally called on the Lord, and you know what I have to say? Is just like Romans, God's goodness has led me to repentance. His goodness. You don't have a right to be angry with God, to be frustrated with God, to be mad at God, because God is good. Everything He does is good and is right. You know, that's part of His character. That is part of who God is. That is part of what God is. No wonder Jeremiah, with nothing else to hold on to, with nothing else in the world, he could look up at this point in time and say, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." I've seen it happen. I've seen a woman, and she was in a nursing home, and she used to be a businesswoman, and her name escapes me right now. Miss Anderson. And she got paralyzed from the neck down, and she still had all of her faculties up here, but she could just move her arm just a little bit, and she could just make grunting sounds. But you know, her testimony day after day after day was that the Lord was good. The Lord had taken everything from her. Everything was gone. She had, all her worldly possessions were gone. They had been sold off. They'd lived in a nursing home. And you look from the outside and you say, what a pathetic scene. What possibly could this woman hope in? And yet that woman had joy in the Lord. She knew who God was. You see, there's going to come a point in time in your life, maybe not now, but maybe next week, maybe the week after, that you're going to need God. It's a wonder sometimes that in some of the times when you face the most adversity, that that's when you seek after God the most. And I wish that in times of prosperity and health and all these things, we sought after Him just as much. But at least in our calamity, we seek after Him, you know? But He's there for you. He's good. The Lord is good. There's something else that I saw here. Look in verse 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commanded it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good? Think about that phrase in verse 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? What man is there that can say something and bring it to pass when the Lord says no? When the Lord stops their tracks? You look over and over and over again in the Bible, and do you know what you find? You find that God freely exercises His power over men. You don't think that's possible? Look at what He did to Pharaoh. God freely exercised His power over Pharaoh. You know what the Bible says, that God sets up kings, He puts down others. You don't think God's in control? You think God's off in some other world somewhere and He's not intimately acquainted with the affairs of men? I want to tell you, God is in control. There are some things in this Word of God that there's no way they can be just coincidence. I was reading through the Old Testament and I just picked up some things. In the book of Ruth, if you look over in the book of Ruth, you find a story of a woman, a Gentile woman, who married a man who happened to be an Israelite. And the mother-in-law of this, they were both Gentile women, and they married these two brothers who were from Israel. And the two brothers died. And the mother-in-law took these two back to Israel, and only one went back. This woman was a Gentile. She married a Jew. Her husband died. She went with her mother-in-law back to the original country. She ended up marrying a man named Boaz. She ended up having a son who was the great-grandfather of David. This woman right here was directly in the lineage of David. And not only David, but also the Lord. And you look and you find out that there's not many Gentile women in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. That didn't happen by accident. Things that happen in this book right here don't happen by accident. There is a reason and a purpose for the things that happen. You look in the Old Testament, you look over in Genesis. And I wish I had time to go into these stories in detail, but look at the book of Genesis. In the last chapter, in chapter 50, we know the story of Joseph. Yeah, that's a good picture. Look at the story of Joseph. And Joseph was sold off into slavery, into Egypt. Not only that, but he sold off into slavery into Egypt. His brothers unjustly sold him. He went into a land and he began to work for this man. The wife of this man accused him of rape. He spent several years in prison because of this. When he was able to obtain freedom, he went out and he became the second in command unto Pharaoh. And you wonder, is all this just an accident? Was it an accident that Joseph got sold into slavery in Egypt? What is an accident that his brothers accused him? Was it an accident that he spent his years in that prison like that? Was it an accident that he suffered all these things? But you come down to the end, and in chapter 50 and in verse 20, Joseph says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me." He's talking to his brothers that first sold him off. "But God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You see, Joseph said, you thought to do evil, but God meant it for good. Now, what man can do anything against God's purpose? God has control over the affairs of men. God's got control over us. God's got control over the world. You know what I know about Romans 8:28? Is that it's true. He says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. You see, if you don't believe that somehow God has a hand and God is in control of the situations that you face, how can you possibly have any hope? The truth is God is right now working everything in our lives for good. You know, even the sin that I commit, God turns for good. I've had some good come out of sin because I've sinned and God has chastised my heart and I've repented. And now in certain areas, I walk a little more tenderly, a little more carefully. I walk a little more fearfully. There were times when my heart got lifted up in pride and God had to humble me. And you know, that was good for me. The things that God does for us are good for us. Do you know today that all things work together for good to them that love God? God's in control of your life. Sometimes we get consumed with worry and with doubt, and those take away our peace, those take away our hope. But understand this, that God is for you. It says, Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, Fear not. I don't know if you see, I'm hoping I can express what I saw in this verse, and hopefully I can. But think about that. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Now the first thing that I'm thinking about is, who am I to be able to call the God of the universe and have Him come down and answer me? It's not because I'm great and have tremendous power and I get real uneasy with some of these Pentecostals who begin to say, command ye me, and they're commanding God to do this and they're commanding God to do that. Because I'm not sure that we've got that kind of power over God. But do you understand what position we're in to be able to have an invitation from God to call upon me? I think that's one of the reasons why Jeremiah could say, this I recall to mind, and therefore have I hope, because he knew he could call upon the Lord. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I did a message on prayer, and you know, I'm still rereading those verses that I preached and I wrote. I'm thinking, man, why don't I use this more? Why don't I utilize this more? Why don't I call upon the Lord more? Why don't I trust Him more? Because He's so good to them that call upon His name. Look in Jeremiah in chapter 29 in verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. My original outline is still back at the house, you know, so these are basically some heartfelt thoughts that I was reading through this particular chapter. Sorry, brother, where's Michael? I read the verse and I meditated on it, brother. No outline. But I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I guess basically the main thought of this whole thing is that the better you know God, the more acquainted you are with the Lord, the more you're able to trust Him, and the more of a comfort He becomes to you in times of sorrow, such as death this week. Several in the congregation have faced death this week, such as loss, such as physical sickness, the afflictions of the world. There's a brother in this church who's suffering persecution right now in the workplace. And God can comfort. God can bring strength. God can bring wisdom. You see, we don't have to be in an ideal situation to know that we can trust God and gain our refuge, our strength, our comfort, our source, our hope. Everything we need from God is available to us if we just know Him and are willing to call upon Him and put everything we have into His care. And that's my promise. That's something I take for myself. I believe God says, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And some days that's all we have is the Lord. As a church, I don't know exactly how society is going to go. I don't know exactly, you know, how far we are from the tribulation. I don't know how far we are from economic collapse. I don't know if God is going to let us go with prosperity right on in to the rapture. I'm not exactly sure. You know, the truth is nobody can tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. So tomorrow can't be our hope. Nobody can tell you or guarantee you that things will be going the same for you as they are right now. So that can't be our hope. Our hope is tied up in God's character, in God's power, and God's interest in us in an intimate way. My prayer is that each and every one of us would learn to trust the Lord more. And maybe there's someone here in this room that you're not saved and you know it. You look down in your heart and you know that you're not saved. Well, let me tell you what the greatest and most compassionate and the most merciful thing that God ever did for sinful man is He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And He died on the cross and He shed His perfect blood. And now the way into heaven has been opened up for sinful man. He gives an invitation. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can take him up on that promise today. And by God's grace, if you're lost here today, my prayer is that you would do just that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, I pray for those in the congregation today that may be in affliction and trial. Lord, that You would bring them comfort and hope and strength today. Lord, I pray that Your Word would have an effect on each and every one of us here in this room. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would help each and every one of us to learn to know You better, to love You better, to trust You more. Lord, that our doubts would be fewer and fewer. Lord, that our worries would be less and less. Our anxieties would fall by the wayside. Lord, we could put everything into Your care. That's what we desire. Lord, we thank You that You love us so much. We thank You that You're such a God of compassion. Lord, we can praise You and magnify You without any reserve. Lord, You're good in all Your ways, and You're merciful, and You're kind, and You're compassionate. And we love You, and we thank You. Lord, I pray that You'd have mercy on any soul in this room today that's not saved. Lord, that before it's too late, they would call upon Your name. And they would be saved. And that's my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and have a good day. If anybody has any questions about what we preach and you want to stay afterwards and ask one of us, please feel free to do so. Thank you.